salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning, man. I'm fighting information overload right now today. I was just telling the guys before we went, I'll say hi to you. I'm doing something on my phone. I told the guys before I went on the air, I could do an 8-hour show today. I'm not making it up. I could do an 8-hour show. And here's what I'm, bear with me. I can't talk and do this at the same time. I'm sending you something, Mike. I found the most amazing thing. Hang on. What did I put on there? Steph, I don't know what I'm doing here. I was doing show prep this morning, and the most amazing thing happened. Again, it happens regularly to me, actually, when I get into doing show prep. Meditate on the word. Meditate on the word. And I find out that when you take a word, you take a phrase, I don't care what it is. We have been taught to study the Bible so shallowly. Is that a word? Shallowly. We've been taught in our churches not to go deep. I've read through the Bible 40 times. Yeah, but you read through the Bible 40 times and you missed most of it because you couldn't wait to get through the Bible. You didn't meditate on it. You didn't study it. You didn't study it. Oh, man, I got trapped last night, this morning, whenever it was. I got to get it off my chest, but I don't know if I can enunciate it. I don't know if I can clearly articulate it. Bear with me. I'm gonna come back to it. Sky high this weekend. We got a load of folks coming in. If you happen to be one of those folks, if you haven't received the proper information about where you're going to stay, what you need to do, what you need to bring, you need to email me and let me know, and I'll get it to Gary. Gary Pierce has done a wonderful job. He's been on top of the whole thing. We've got Tom Dunn's going to come in. He's going to do spiritual warfare. Looking forward. I talked to Tom yesterday. David Paxton is going to come in. He's going to do drones, learning to fly drones. Yes, there will actually be drones there that you yourself get to fly. Yes, yep, that's right. And, of course, we're going to do pistol training, shotgun shooting. We've got a lot of great stuff going on. And excited for all of you. Again, dress warmly, please. It's going to be a high of supposed to be sunny, high of about 62, which is okay. There's always a breeze up on top of that hill. So, yeah, bring a sweatshirt and sleeping bags and whatever, because at night it's probably going to get pretty chilly. Some of you are sleeping in campers. Some of you are sleeping in tents. Y'all with me? So I just want to make sure that you're all up to date and ready to roll on that. Really, really looking excited for it. Appreciate Chad. Chad's driving in all the way from Texas to do the training for us. Bobby Lee's already here. Man, lot of good, crazy stuff going on. And I don't know if it's excuse me, if anybody has anything to add to it, as I'm scrolling over here, looking at what I'm, yeah, there's a lot going on. So, going to be a wonderful weekend. Going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. Yeah, please. Larry's driving all the way in from South Carolina to be our chief chef again. Come on in, Larry, or whoever that was. I'm sorry.
It's me. It's Mike. We had a guy show up in our office here in Mount Airy yesterday out of the blue. He's going to be with you this weekend, 30 years with YWAM. Had no idea the guy existed. He lives in Pilot Mountain, next town over. And he found you on the internet, I don't know how long ago. Didn't even know you had a video show. He catches you on audio. And he's making the trip up, and he's going to be there for tactical training.
30 Unbelievable. Years, 30
years of YWAMer, out of the blue. There we
wow.
go.
Hey, folks, listen. I don't say much about it. I know I hardly ever say it. You need to share this gathering with people. Not everybody's going to want it. Not everybody's going to like it. But we need to share. We need to cross-pollinate. We need to cross-pollinate so that people realize that there are many of us who are singing that same song. But they don't just listen to me and think I'm a kook. But they listen to Sheila Zelinsky. And she's not a kook. And they listened to Tom Dunn, two interviews I did yesterday, by the way. They listened to JR. They listened to, Mike Heath. Right? Folks, we got to cross-pollinate. It's the only way that we're gonna be able to spread the word. And I just find it more and more and more that people are waking up, people are understanding. We could have had 100 people again at our tactical training this weekend. We could have. And because people are beginning to understand something seriously wrong. Something seriously wrong. And so I just want to encourage you, step out. I would hope if you're watching this show today that you're beyond being scared about making enemies. I hope you're beyond that. I hope you're beyond offending people. I don't choose to do it. I don't get up in the morning and say, hey, I'm going to go down and see who I can offend today. But I was having a discussion with Steve Deck this last weekend and then Bobby Lee. And I'm a straight shooter. I'm an abrasive straight shooting guy. Some people like it. Some people don't. No nonsense. I call them like I see them. I try to speak the truth, and the truth being what God says about a situation. And I don't try to coddle people or make them feel bad about or feel good about the situation they find themselves in. Most of the situations you find yourself in, you have put yourself in. It's probably not the devil. It's probably something you have done, some form of disobedience, something like that. And we're so used to people bailing us out and telling us how brave we are. And no, listen, dudes, it is what it is. You are where you are because of what you've done. And you can either deal with it, stand up and be a man and dig your way out of it, or continue to sit on in your easy chair and pat yourself on the back and tell everybody just how poor, abused you've been by the devil. I'm not going to live that way, right? I'm not going to live it. I don't live a perfect life. Somebody could come and follow me around in a day and see some stuff I do I probably shouldn't do. We all fight that fight. But fear of man's a snare. I'll say that one again. The fear of man's a snare. And I ask people this. You ready for this one? You ready for this one out there? Why do I fear other people? I think we ought to be in the business of making people afraid of us. Some might think I have that backwards. Do you think there's something wrong for a Christian to be feared? Let's camp right there a minute. I want you to ponder that. The truth of what I just spoke to you, is it unchristlike to create fear in the hearts of other men?
Yes.
Yes, it's unchristlike?
That is Christlike.
No, it is Christlike. It's the fear of God that drives them to repentance, right? It's the fear of God. And why, if we want people to be afraid of God, fearful of God, why are they, help me out here, why are they not afraid of godly men? Huh? Come on! No, we have to be love, 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 love. Rub your back, make you feel good, happy, happy, happy. No. Fear. Fear godly men. Often, Stephanie says it's better to be feared than loved. It's always, it's better to be feared than loved. Better to be feared than loved. I don't know how I got on that because here was the point I was trying to make, and I'm going to make here in a minute. I got into something today that just kind of rocked my boat because this always happens. If I said to you, listen, I'm not going to focus on this, but I got to get it off my chest, okay? If I said to you, if I mentioned to you law and Bible in the same word, same sentence, the law and Bible, most of us would probably go to Ten Commandments, the traditions of the church. We would go to dietary laws. We would go to laws of action, laws of behavior. We would probably go and talk about what's lawful and what's not lawful. I was reading something today. I hate to do this to you. But I'm talking about going deep, right? And I was reading. Let me look here at my notes, Mike. Let me get it up here. Hey, Mike, go to Romans 8 real quick. Because the Bible talks about laws in a different sense. See if I can find it here. Romans 8, verse 2. I don't have the answer, okay? I'm coming to you today because I saw something that shook me. There is thou, therefore now, I'm in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It's up on your screen. Time out. Some of you love it when I talk about the Bible. Some of you love it when I talk about the culture. Some of you love it when I talk about government. We try to do it all here. We try to connect all the dots here. Politics is biblical. Right? Cultural is biblical. Biblical is cultural. Quit separating those in your head. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. See, I could do a word study right there on that word. In Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Because they tell us all the time, put on the Lord, put on Jesus. No, in Christ Jesus. What do you mean put him on? What do you mean? There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. What? I saw where I'm going. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Here it is. Here's what tripped me up today. And I spent the last, Bobby Lee got up and came walking out in the kitchen. I didn't already talk to him because I was engrossed in trying to figure this out. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What? There's a law of the Spirit of life? That's a law? And that law of the Spirit of life has set me free from another law called the law of sin and death? And I said, Lord, how many laws are there? What do you mean? The law of the freedom of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin. There's two different sets of laws that have gone on here, evidently. And I began to dig in it and think about it and said, my Lord, what's going on here? There's something deeper going on here, Lord. What is it? Well, I hear somebody trying to come in.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to tell you how much this is Spirit-led, because when we went to Missouri, we slept in that bunkhouse, and quite a few of us in there snoring, so I couldn't sleep. So I'd get up and walk up and down the road, and the Lord downloaded an entire teaching on this. We're not under law, but under grace. The exact same thing. And when you started talking about this morning, I woke up this morning. I was laying there in my bed, and I was just rehearsing that teaching. And I'm going to do a video on it. It's a quite exhaustive study. Just let me give you the long and the short of it. There are two types of laws. There's like the Mosaic, the law, the commandments, and then there are other laws in our universe, like the law of
natural laws. We call them natural laws, right, John?
Correct. It's like gravity. Here's the illustration God gave me when I was walking. It's like gravity. Gravity is an invisible force that makes you do something you don't want to do. If you step off a building, you don't want to do that. But that law is going to pull you to the earth, and you're going to fall to your death whether you want to or not. When Paul said in Romans 6, and you got to go back to 6 and 7, he says, I love the law of God after my inward man. In other words, I love God's commandments, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. So he's saying, I've got this Adamic nature that even though I don't want to sin, I keep finding myself doing what I don't want to do.
Because it's a law, John. It's a law.
Correct. So you think about if to overcome one law, what do you need? You need another law. So in order to overcome gravity, what does an airplane do? It uses the law of aerodynamics. You got one law counteracting another law. If you have gravity pulling a metal object down, you need another law like gravity. Magnetism will overcome gravity. That's the illustration he's trying to make here, is there's a law of being in Christ, which will overpower the law of sin and death, which is the flesh. So when you understand Romans 6, 7, and 8 and go and read it today, that's all you under, that's what you understand. When it says you're not under law, but under grace, he's not saying you don't have to keep the commandments because God is good and merciful. It says you no longer have to walk according to the Adamic fallen nature because the spirit, another law is counteracting that allows you to live a righteous and holy life. That's the short version of about a 45-minute teaching I'm going to do.
John, I'm all over
it. Hey, Coach, can I tag on that?
Yes.
Because there's the law of life, and there's the law that bringeth forth death.
Yes.
Romans 6 says this very thing. He says, you are a slave, whether you like it or not. You're either a slave unto sin or a slave unto righteousness. You're either the slave to life or the slave to death.
Amen. And so there is in the second verse three distinct things mentioned that we don't even see. Verse 2, it's up there. There's the law, there's the spirit, and there's life. Right in that very first phrase. The law of the spirit of life. Those are three distinct things. Law, spirit, life, all coming together in one body. Do you see it? Do you see these laws? Do you see how these laws fight? One fights the other. The things that I do, I wish I didn't do. Oh, wretched man that I am, right? But there's a fourth law. See, the fourth law. Oh man, I don't know if I have time to crack it open. I don't know if I have a deep enough understanding of it to crack it open. The spirit of life. See, the spirit of life through Christ is outside our natural ability. It's outside of us. Our carnal nature is in us, right? The spirit of death is in us. It's already become part of who we are. We were born, right? We are born in sin, the Bible says. We are born sinners. We are born into death. We're born into it. And life is outside of death. So the law of Christ, the law of the spirit of Christ, is outside this natural realm. And the only way that you can have access to this law that trumps all laws is to be able to somehow bring that supernatural law inside of you. Is this, am I getting this with me?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Maybe one way to look at it is, you know, Jesus says, come unto me. But do you know that the word unto and the word into in the New Testament are both, the hundreds of times they're used, they're both from the exact same Greek word. So when you are in Christ Jesus, you have come unto him. You have come into him when you come to Jesus. You don't just stand there in front of him. You come into him.
Mm-hmm. It's hard for us to conceive, isn't it, friends? Listen, I haven't dug this open deep enough yet, okay? John, I look forward to what you come up with. There, I just know this from the Holy Spirit. This is deeper than we even understand. Paul said, oh, wretched man, I don't even want to do those things, right? So we understand carnal. See, when we think of, we get in arguments on whether or not we should be following Old Testament law and the dietary laws and the, all, right? You guys all with me, right? And whether we should give, y'all with me? Well, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, oh, I'm going to get in trouble. Those biblical laws are nothing more than the attempt by which we can live the spiritual life. That's really all they are. It's a physical, man-made, am I making myself clear? Trying to somehow help me to live a more godly, righteous life.
Absolutely. Because it's a development of religion, Coach.
Yeah.
Trying to do something in the flesh to make me spiritual. This is the very thing that Jesus Christ came against. Jesus talked about everything, farming, politics, and everything. But when it got to self-man religion, he disdained that.
Doesn't it say that the law brings death? Isn't that what it says?
Death.
The law. Now, I'm not trying to be anti-nomianism. I'm not trying to be that, right? I'm not, folks, please understand, that's not what I'm talking about. But those of us who focus on laws and rule keeping and all that kind of stuff, folks, the law brings death. It's very, very clear. The law brings death. I want to be under the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Don't you want to? The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from what? The law of sin and death. You mean there's a law regarding sin and death? Yes, there's a law. The soul that sins, it shall die. I want to be set free from that law. I want to be set free. I want to be free by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. But we don't really even understand what that law is. That's a law that supersedes all other laws. Oh, boy. I'm going to move on. That's your Bible.
Well, Coach, before you do, just remember this. It's that same ideology, is that it's like swimming. Are you out at the ocean swimming, where most Christians are, playing on top of the water with their boogie boards? But if you want to see the life in the ocean, you're going to have to put on scuba gear, and you're going to have to go real deep.
Amen. 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 Hey, folks, this would be worth some study. Romans 7 and 8. That's where I've been most morning. Paul talks a lot about the law. Mike, go to Romans 7 real quick. Wait a minute. All of Romans 7 talks about law. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. How that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he's alive. It goes into the laws and all that kind of stuff. And Paul ultimately says, get away from that stuff, man, because now it's the Spirit of life, Christ Jesus. That's the law. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from all these other laws. And if you're living in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, you're not going to divorce your wife. You're not going to go get more wives. You're not going to want to do carnal things if you're walking in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Made me free from all this other stuff, all this other stall, all the other law brings death. I'm going to make some people mad. I'll shut up right there. Hey, I want you to do this. I don't know if you guys have seen this or not. I got a lot of stuff today. Where is it, Mike? Where is it? Hey, Mike, play that video, Mike, I sent to you this morning that Sam you sent us. The Muslim ban. Have you guys seen this from our? I know you haven't. Not that one. Not that one. Yeah, folks, have you seen this from our good buddy Joe Biden? Has anybody seen this? Thanks for this, Sam. I just think this would be pretty good that maybe we watch 2 minutes and 8 seconds. See if you've seen this played anywhere on the news. Go ahead.
Day one.
Joe Biden's message to Muslims.
Hadith from the Prophet Muhammad instructs, whomever among you sees a wrong, let him change it with his hand. If he is not able, then with his tongue. If he is not able, then with his heart.
Make no mistake, people. 2020 is our year. Let's dive into it with 2020 Vision. We can see clearly that America is fighting for its very soul.
We all come from the same root here in terms of our fundamental basic beliefs. And I just want to thank you for giving me the opportunity, for being engaged, for committing to action this November. It matters. Your voice is your vote. Your vote is your voice. Muslim Americans' voices matter. I'll be a president who seeks out, listens to, and incorporates the ideas and concerns of Muslim Americans on everyday issues that matter most to our communities. That will include having Muslim American voices as part of my administration.
But getting out the vote, getting our families out to vote, getting our elderly out to vote, getting our masjids out to vote, getting our neighborhoods out to vote. So let's do our part
and join the largest Muslim voter mobilization in America,
the Million Muslim Votes Campaign. Let's roll up our sleeves. Let's make our voices heard. Because we got the means, we got the numbers, and we got the power. From the streets to
please put that link in the chat.
I don't know how to do it because it. I'm not real techie. This needs to go everywhere, folks. This needs to go everywhere, right? Thanks, Mike. Mike, will I be able to share that to Facebook then? Because I got a lot of people that pick my stuff up. Folks, is that unbelievable, friends? Is that unbelievable? Now, see, here's part of the problem. There are a lot of Christians who will think that's righteous of Joe Biden. They'll think he's being tolerant and diverse, loving, caring, right? Silver, I hear you. Go ahead.
Sure he is. I mean, it's politics. But I was going to just give you an update, so most people don't even know this, especially if you're just a straight Christian kind of person. You don't really dig into the Old Testament much. But there are 613 laws in the Old Testament, most of which deal with the operation of the temple and sacrifice, stuff like that. Okay. But they don't look at homosexuality as a law. It's not part of the Ten Commandments. You know, that's why they allow it, things like that. So,
well, thou shalt not commit adultery, right?
That one too. Yeah.
So again, it's a rewriting and a remember antinomianism, right? The same stuff. That spirit, that antichrist spirit's everywhere that we look. I'm not going to. They make laws about wearing masks so that you'll break the laws and it's unequally enforced. They do that, right? So that we get to the point where we no longer respect the law or say we're under the law or that law doesn't apply to me or I'm above the law. And it's all just antichrist. It's just all antichrist spirit, folks. I'm sorry that we can't get it, can't see it, don't understand it. But that's the way that I see it. Lord, give me some direction. I got so many things I got to share with people. I'll say that. I did that, all of that. Oh, go to, Mike, go to Matt Truella on fear. Folks, we're driven by fear in America. You know that, don't you? We've talked about this before, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, right? Fear is the greatest motivator in the world. I'm going to say that again. Remember this. It's the fear of God that drives us to Christ. Why? Because fear is an ultimate motivator. There's nothing other than love, maybe. Nothing other than love that will conquer fear that I know of. Courage can, right? But courage is based on love as well. Love conquers fear. But for the most part, most people are not deep enough spiritually to be able to overcome fear. That's why these things are everywhere, right? They can't overcome them. And Pastor Matt Tuello, Missionaries of the Preborn, I consider Matt to be a friend of mine. Matt made a video, it's about 7 minutes, but I think it's worth your time to watch it, on how we are manipulated through fear, how the media manipulates us through fear. Okay, I think I wouldn't take 7 minutes of your time other than I think it's worth it. Go ahead, Mike, and play this.
The news media in America is dishonest and regularly misrepresents and lies about people who do not go along with their agenda and narratives. This may come as no surprise to you, but let me carefully show you their process so you better understand how it works. On Tuesday, July 22nd, 2020, the city of Brookfield, Wisconsin held a public hearing to create a mandatory citywide mask-wearing mandate. They added it to the agenda just the night before the hearing. They clearly did not want any opposition to organize. Nevertheless, about 200 people showed up to testify against it. Here is the entire 2-minute speech I gave against the mandatory masking order proposed by the city of Brookfield.
William Pitt, the British statesman, once said that necessity is the plea for every infringement of human freedom. It is the argument of tyrants. It is the creed of slaves. And what we have seen here in these days is that the tyrants in America have learned that the virus is a perfect narrative to tyrannize the citizenry. And I speak against it because it's all based on a lie. They said that we needed this lockdown to keep the hospitals from being overrun, but they were never even close to being overrun. The nurses in our congregation will attest to that. Friends who work in medical field will attest to that I have across the country. They said it was to flatten the curve, but the curve's long been flattened. It never did get as high as they said it would. The government and the health experts have lied about the number of deaths from COVID, counting those with COVID as part of the dead rather than those who died from COVID as being part of the dead. Now that the numbers have gone down, down, down for the last 2.5 months, now they're counting new cases. Well, when you're testing millions of people, of course there's going to be many new cases. And I could go on, but I'll be respectful of your time. And let me simply close by saying this. I could talk about many more lies. Tyranny is built plank by plank. The Jews didn't one day get called to the edge of the railroad and be told to get onto the boxcars. There were 1,000 little acts infringing upon their liberty prior to that. One of the first laws that was passed was that Jews could not sit on a park bench, could not sit on a public park bench. And the Jews accommodated themselves to that. And then there was another law, and they accommodated themselves. There was another law, and they accommodated themselves to that, too. That's how tyranny operates, until one day the final solution takes place and the boxcars are there. This is an infringement of our liberty. Men fought, bled, and died for, and I, for one, am not going to sit by while tyrants try to take away what they established for us.
Now, here is how the news media reported what I said.
And now to our big story tonight. A local pastor is under fire after comparing a mask mandate to the Holocaust. That comment was made during a Brookfield Common Council meeting on Tuesday. Madeline Anderson joining us live with more on the controversial statement and the community's response to it.
Pause a second.
Well, city leaders here at City Hall say...
What makes it a controversial statement? Why, what Matt Torella just read, why is that a controversial statement other than the media wants you to believe it's controversial so you don't believe it? Go ahead.
Say they've received numerous complaints from people deeply offended by the pastor's comments, and this isn't the first time he's been at the center of controversy. Brookfield Common Council members rejecting a proposal this week to recommend the Waukesha.
Folks, I want you to watch this because Matt, as he's edited this film, he puts his comments in red on the screen, okay? I want you to understand he's explaining to you what they're doing. Like he just said, they just right immediately, they just made him look like some kind of freak. And we'll make sure everybody else knew that everybody else was, that this guy's some kind of freak and people are complaining about it. That's the, so when you see the red, that's Pastor Matt editorializing on what they're doing. Go ahead. I'll shut up. Go ahead.
County Health Department mandate masks. During the public comment portion of the meeting, local pastor Matthew Truella spoke out against the policy, arguing that small infringements upon people's liberties paved the way to much larger atrocities like the Holocaust.
Tyranny is built plank by plank. The Jews didn't one day get called to the edge of the railroad and be told to get onto the boxcars.
When you compare the persecution and the slaughter of millions of the Jewish people during the Holocaust to wearing a piece of cloth on your face, you minimize the suffering of millions of people and their descendants.
The statement, which received cheers from the crowd, left Brookfield Alderman Mike Hallquist stunned and disturbed.
I don't know how to describe disgust other than to say you get that internal feeling inside of when you've just witnessed something very wrong.
Truella is no stranger to controversy. He founded an anti-abortion group called Missionaries of the Preborn in the 90s and made national headlines then for blocking abortion clinics in Milwaukee.
What we're choosing to do is to not focus on a moment in time that is hate speech.
Mark Shapiro, president and CEO of the Jewish Community Center in Whitefish Bay, says he's hoping to drown out the negative noise with a teachable moment, unveiling a new initiative Thursday amid the pandemic called Mitzvah Mask Up. And Mitzvah Mask Up, the JCC says, is to promote that wearing a mask should be equated with a good thing, not a negative thing. Now, the Milwaukee Jewish Federation is also condemning the pastor's comments and is hoping that it is calling on him to recant them. And we have a full statement from the Federation up at fox6now.com. Reporting live in Brookfield, Madeline Anderson, Fox 6 News.
All right, Madeline, thank you for that.
This was just one of several news stories, but they were all replicas of one another.
How does a mask mandate compare to the murder of 6 million Jews? What was the comparison? What I was talking about is how tyranny takes place. So when you see liberty being attacked by government officials, you need to stand up against it.
Truella says his congregation at Mercy Seat.
The news media misrepresents and maligns through careful editing, insertion of liberal opposition, and misrepresentation of what occurred. This is so they can paint a false narrative to the public. While they may seem like they aren't presenting their own argument, they clearly pander to leftist organizations, dishonest tyrant politicians, and the ungodly. Satan is crafty with his lies. At face value, this type of reporting seems unbiased when in reality it is nothing but biased. The end goal of these kinds of news stories is to make people fearful to speak out lest they get misrepresented and demonized by the media. But you must speak, because silence aids and abets tyranny. You can check out some sermons and short videos I posted, which will give you the biblical...
Folks, as a guy who's had, I've had this happen to me. Did they have anybody, did they interview anybody in support of Matt Truella? Did they go looking for anybody in support? No. Go ahead, Joe. I feel you, Joe.
You know, he was talking about park benches and other little things. Wear your star.
That's it. Just put a patch
nice
on that
little thing. Yeah.
Yep. Because clearly he's a freak, right? He's How could anybody compare a mask to those poor 6 million Jews being slaughtered? You see how? You know what the sad thing is? Christians believe it.
They fall for it every time.
Why didn't you interview anybody that was clapping for him in the meeting?
Here's a scarier thing, Coach. I mean, you look at George Soros. I mean, his wealth and power came from his dad during the time in Germany. He was part of that. They owned all these apartment complexes and turning in the Jews. These same people who are reporting against Matt one day themselves will be forced onto the boxcar.
Which is the point he is making, right?
Yep.
See, the Jewish guy should have come along and said, he's exactly right. They did this to us incrementally. Now, one of the things that Matt pointed out that we just went over and didn't see it, when they were doing the interview, when the young lady was doing the interviewing and he was trying to defend himself, they let him do an opening statement, but then cut out all of the reasons he said what he said. They let him do an opening statement, so it sounded like they gave him a fair chance, but every argument he made for why he said it, they cut it out. Mike, see if you can go back there and see what I'm talking about. Slide back there a little bit. So to the casual eye, it looks right there, Mike. To the casual eye, it looks fair. It looks fair. Well, here's Pastor Matt. Here's what he said. We got it right from him. But they don't really show you what he said. Play it real quick.
I go along with their agenda and narratives. This may come as no surprise to you, but let me carefully show you their process so you better understand how it works. On Tuesday, July 22nd, 2020.
No, move on. We'll clear back the beginning. I don't want to be clear back there, Mike. Go next. Go. The girl's interviewing him. There, right there.
Replicas of one another.
How does a mask mandate compare to the murder of 6 million Jews?
What was the comparison? What I was talking about is how tyranny takes place. So when you see liberty being...
It took out all of his arguments. It took all the arguments out that he made. He went on to explain how this is what happens. It starts out, they make you put a mask on, then they make you take a vaccination. He went down and he explained the whole thing. But see, they cut all those out. They cut all those out. And then they can say, well, we gave him time. He had time to make his point.
Yeah, but they didn't let him. They didn't let him frame the
They
narrative.
Didn't let him make his point, right? They right. Instead, as soon as he gets done, what happens? As soon as he gets done, okay, let it roll a little bit, Mike. As soon as he makes his point, what happens? Well, they're going to go to some Jewish guy.
Attacked by government officials, you need to stand up against it.
Truella says his congregation at Mercy Seat.
The news media misrepresents and maligns through careful editing, insertion of liberal opposition, and misrepresentation of what occurred. This is so they can paint a false narrative to the public. While they may seem like they aren't presenting their own argument, they clearly pander to leftist organizations, dishonest tyrant politicians, and the...
So hang on. So, folks, there's Pastor Matt Truella. It's like the freaking debate. There's Pastor Matt Tuella and then five other people who disagree with him. They interview five other people who disagree with him, and they can't find any place in Milwaukee that anybody agreed with him. Nobody?
Apparently not.
See what they do? See what they do to us? So we have to understand it and not be ignorant of his devices and understand that's what's going on. Cool. Anybody comment on that?
I got some more.
Yeah.
I know this, you may not think this fits, but I've been studying this really, really extensively. And it's called, there's a phenomenon happening. It's a psychological phenomenon. It's called self-fulfilling prophecy. Okay. It has nothing to do with prophetic stuff in the Bible. What this is, Coach, in a nutshell, it's people taking a narrative and they are using it to bring forth the future. And I can't explain this. It takes too long, but everybody needs to Google this and see it. This is like when we saw virtue signaling, Coach. It gave us the understanding of what is happening in the moment.
Well, Randy, another example of that same thing is what they did to President Trump the other night regarding Charlottesville, right? They went back 3.5 years, pulled out a lie about something he said, brought it into the present to paint the picture that he's a racist. First of all, he didn't even say what he said, right? He didn't even say it. But they bring it up as if he just said it yesterday, and it's what he believes. And how do you fight against something like that, folks? That's character assassination. But see, what Randy is saying, that becomes self-fulfilling prophecy in that people watching it believe it.
Yes.
Hey, Coach, the news media a long time ago stopped recording news and reporting news and started presenting, making news be what they just reported.
It's been like that longer than we realized. Walter Cronkite was doing it. All of them, they've been doing it for a long, long time.
Hey, Coach. Yes. I've been through similar situations. I nicknamed the media AKA Bag Dag Bob.
Well, here's what I know. I speak to the media a lot. And I always know it's going to be misconstrued. But here's what I pray every time I speak to the media. I pray that the Christians who watch me, watch the segment, have discernment. If they don't have discernment, it don't matter anyway. If the average Christian is going to watch this hit piece on Matt Tuella and believe it, then they're no good to us anyway, right? But so when you get the opportunity to speak to the media like this, know this, they will make you look like a fool. They are not on your side. They want to destroy you, and understand that's what's going to happen. And I have become convinced, Right Wing Watch, Kyle, I want to thank you so much for all the media that you've given us, because I know this. There is no such thing as bad media. Trust me on this. No such thing as bad media, because people who have a discerning spirit see through it. They see through it. You get folks, you with me? I can't tell you the number of times I've been interviewed or watched an interview, and I sit in my house and I cringe when I watch it, because that's not what I said. That's not what I meant. That's not what it was about. But yet I trust that the Lord will use it for good. The people out there are going to wake up and understand, you know, that dude's a fighter. That dude's a fighter. They ignore all the other stuff, and they understand what the whole thing's about. Come on in. Was that Chad? Who's that? Who was that?
Yeah. Sorry. The thing about the news, we must realize that none of the news networks, none of them, say we bring you the truth. They say we've got what? Fair and balanced. We bring it to you first. Okay, these kind of things.
The most trusted name in media. Yep.
They never say the stories they're bringing are bringing it truth. It is merely entertainment. And we have to see it as that. And it's propaganda. Being moving public thought, moving public influence one direction or another. That's what it's doing.
The devil has an agenda, doesn't he, Chad? You're either for me or against me. You either gather, you scatter. The media cannot ever be unbiased, okay? They cannot be unbiased no matter how much. Why? Because they are serving their father, the devil. Don't ever forget it.
Well, Dave,
we just, it's just out in the open now. If you were to look back at Walter Cronkite, you know, he was the main voice during his era in the Vietnam War. He clearly had an agenda. It just wasn't so out in the open like it is now.
Amen.
And there might have been a more conservative view on something back then within media. Those days are long gone. We just didn't recognize what Walter Cronkite was doing.
Well, Roger, how about 1997 when I got sued by the American Civil Liberties Union for praying with our football team, and you came along to be my attorney, and every media outlet that did a story on me and praying with our team, every media outlet painted me as violating the law. I was the bad guy.
Understand?
Nobody came along and said, look what this wonderful man's doing. He's praying with his football players. He's trying to build a spiritual life. Nobody came along. It was like I was injecting crack cocaine into him. It was like I was raping him and doing child pornography. I was giving him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And every media that showed up wanted the world to know that's what he's doing, and that's wicked.
Well, Dave, that's why we know they've gone too far, in that individuals now see it. We see when we listen to the news that this is, they're lying, they're misconstruing it, they have an agenda. They've gone, and they always do this, they've gone too far.
Absolutely.
They have gone too far. On purpose. On purpose.
Yeah, well, yeah, I would say with that too, they've picked sides, and they've been picking sides for a long time. We just didn't recognize it in the late 60s, early
70s. That's right. That's right. Where are we going now? You have any?
Can I mention one word? Cuties. Sure. I think they've gone too far. Cuties, that stupid movie.
Right. Well, they're getting some backlash on it, aren't they, Vinny? See, we have to understand, those are like test patterns, right? They want to see what they can get away with. So we throw a little bit of pedophilia out there and see if anybody pushes back against it. And, you know, for the most part, church is pretty dead to it. They're not going to do it. Oh, by the way, did you notice in the video, the Matt Tuello video? I'm sure you didn't. So I'm going to point it out to you. They're interviewing Matt, and he's not wearing a mask. And they're interviewing a city council member. And he's a much nicer man than Matt. He's wearing a mask. Did you guys notice that? Yeah, he's a much nicer guy than Matt. He wants to kill Jews. Matt does. Matt wants to load them. Wearing a mask just like killing Jews. Now, are you going to go to Matt's church if you're just a casual observer? No, you're probably not going to. Oh, God, we're so freaking stupid.
You know, Coach, I've concluded this a long time ago, you know, many years in the pro-life and many opportunities to have news agencies come up and want to do an interview. But I've seen exactly what they've done. And I've always told them, no, get out of my face. I don't want to talk to you. And the reason why is because, brother, they are so full of the devil and the spirit of the Antichrist. And the reason I derive that is, show me in the scripture where Jesus is having dialogue with Satan.
Amen. Well, it does say this, Dale, that you're going to be brought before governors and kings as a testimony against them, and think not what you shall speak, for it shall begin unto you that same hour what you shall speak, for it's not you that speaks, but your Father that speaks through you. So
I'm fine with that, but the news agency?
I differ with you on it, just only because I picked some of you guys up through the news media. I picked up guys through Right Wing Watch. Right? Yeah, go ahead, Jack. Is it Jack? Go ahead.
Oh, this is Gary.
Gary, I'm sorry.
Hey, did that mask mandate get shot down?
It doesn't matter, Gary, because people wear masks anyway. It doesn't matter whether there's a mask policy. Folks, listen to me. It doesn't matter if there's a mask policy. People are wearing freaking masks. They're just wearing them.
Hey, Coach, in Florida, the governor rescinded it, and the people were still wearing them.
That's what I'm saying, Gary. We're already so conditioned that we're already. I got to get this in. I might go to the letter to Senator Graham. I didn't get a chance to talk about this yesterday, folks, and this is so critical for us to understand what happened. This happened the day of the debate, and not a word was reported about it. This is from the Director of National Intelligence, Ratcliffe. Chairman Graham. It's horrible to read on broadcast. I'm sorry, but I have to do that, okay? Chairman Graham, in response to your request for intelligent community information related to the Federal Bureau of Investigating Hillary Clinton and the Russia hoax. This is what this letter is about. In late July, this is from the National Intelligence Director. In late July 2016, U.S. intelligence agencies obtained insight into Russian intelligence, allegedly analysts alleging that U.S. presidential candidate Hillary Clinton had approved a campaign plan to stir up a scandal against U.S. presidential candidate Donald Trump by trying to tie him to Putin and Russians hacking of the Democratic National Committee. Folks, the Rush information came that Hillary was working with the Russians. That's what this says. The IC does not know the accuracy of this allegation, or the extent to which the Russian intelligence and analysts may reflect exaggerations or fabrications. However, according to his handwritten notes, former CIA Director Brennan subsequently briefed President Obama on what was going on in regards to Hillary and other senior national security officers, on including the alleged approval by Hillary Clinton on July 26th of a proposal from one of her national foreign policy advisors to vilify Donald Trump by stirring up campaign scandal claiming interference by Russian security. Sir, Hillary is the one who came up with the Trump Russian. This is what this is telling us. With the Trump, this whole Trump Russian collusion was cooked up by Hillary. Obama knew it. The CIA knew it. The FBI knew it. They all knew it. This is coming from the Director of National Intelligence right now. On September 7th, U.S. intelligence officials forwarded an investigative referral to James Comey and Director of Counterintelligence Peter Stroke regarding U.S. presidential candidate Hillary Clinton's approval of a plan concerning U.S. presidential candidate Donald Trump and Russian hackers hampering U.S. elections as a means of distracting the public from her use of a private mail server. This is a government document.
Amen.
And not a peep. Not a peep. Folks, listen, Hillary created the whole Russian controversy. Obama was aware of it. Comey was aware of it. Clapper was aware of it. Stroke was aware of it. Adam Schiff was. They were all in on it. This news breaks. And have you guys seen anything about this anywhere?
Hey, Coach. Coach, if I had known about the server, I could have gotten to it myself. All you do is type clintonemail.com. You had access. That's as easy as it was. Clintonemail.com.
Well, there you go, man. So as referenced in his 24 September letter to the committee, Attorney General Barr has advised that disclosure of this information will not interfere with ongoing Department of Justice investigations. Additional declassifications and public disclosures of related intelligence remains under consideration. However, the IC welcomes the opportunity to provide a classified briefing with further details at your convenience. He said, I'd love to come to you guys and show you what else went on. You ain't going to believe it. Is this amazing? In the United States of America? Yeah.
Biden was aware of it.
Biden was aware of it. Thank you, Dan. Biden was aware of it. We live in a banana republic. Randy, remember when we went to Hillary's house? Remember when we went there? We're just trying to get them to do their job. Equal justice under the law. Just protect people. Just do the right thing. Right? The folks, this is from government officials. They have all this information. Can anybody tell me, just from this information, who should be have felony charges brought against them right now? Who should have already had them filed against them? Come on in, Randy.
Coach, if you want to study this, the story of Jezebel, it was several years before when they told her, when Elijah told her, you're going to be thrown over the wall and the dogs are going to lick up your blood and all your kingdom's going to come down. It was several years before it happened, but it happened.
Amen, Coach, brother.
Going down, I'm telling you, if I don't care what anybody says, this will all come out and this Clinton thing, all of this is going to go down. It's going to go down. I guarantee it. It's going to get. It's going to be revealed.
Because you went and laid your hands on that threshold and opened a window, Randy. That's opened or closed a window. That's what I think. So folks, what can be more obvious? And what are they worrying about? The one about Trump's racism? Really? This is treason, folks. Treason. Hillary Clinton did exactly what they accused Donald Trump of. I'm going to say that again because some of you still don't get it. When they were investigating Donald Trump, everything they were investigating was true, but it was about Hillary. It wasn't about Trump.
Right. Projection, like they always do, Coach.
Oh, my goodness. What's going on? What's going on? Somebody help me out. We got about what, 4 or 5 minutes here. Help me wrap this up.
Well, Dave, I wasn't. Dave, sorry.
Go ahead, Chad. Go ahead, Chad.
Oh, I thought. Jeff, go ahead. I'm sorry. I read Jeff. Go.
All right, I lived in the same area as Hillary Clinton did. She went to the same high school as my brother. No way she could think this up for herself. She was advised in
well,
the
whatever.
Think tank to do
well,
this.
Well, I don't, there's no doubt about that, Jeff. But she alleged approval by Hillary Clinton on July 26, 2016.
Dave, I think also she was doing this during the campaign. Had she won, I don't think it would have continued. What happened is, I believe once she lost, she was so pissed, she just continued the program.
Yeah, I think so, Roger. And you know, the sad thing is, here's what we know, folks. Here's what we know. Our elected officials aren't honest. The truth doesn't matter to them. They're not worried about the destruction of the republic. They just want their power. They want their goodies. They want their attention. You with me? That's what we're seeing.
Yeah, amen, Coach. No, they're in on it. Otherwise, this wouldn't happen. If they were protecting us, Coach, this wouldn't happen. No,
wouldn't happen. If there were any honorable Democrats, they would stand up and say, "This is enough of this. I've had enough of this. This is so wrong. This is so wrong."
Hey, Coach, also, who threw her over the wall? It was the gilded men.
Huh.
It was those eunuchs, Coach.
Yep.
They're the ones that gave her up. So when this goes down, now this is how it's going to play out. The people, the Democrats, her own left group are going to give her up. You watch. And it's going to all start falling. It needs to start with her. And it's
You know why that is, Randy? And, folks, we discovered this when we went to Chappaqua. Some of you that maybe just watching the show recently didn't know that a couple of years ago we went to Hillary Clinton's house in Chappaqua. We went there. I personally went there 3 different times. And the 2 of the times that we went there and we did public demonstrations against Hillary, you know what we found out, folks? You listening to me? They hate Hillary. The people in Chappaqua hate Hillary. She destroyed their town. Now, they're still Democrats and they still vote Democratic, but they hate Hillary Clinton. Randy, those are the eunuchs that are going to throw her over the wall. Those are the ones who have been emasculated, whatever. Those are the ones who have had their lives destroyed by them. They're the ones they're going to throw her over the wall. We're going to see it happen. I don't know how it's going to happen, but we're going to see it happen.
Why was Hillary a focal point in that parade, Dave? She wasn't in office. What in the world? Why was she walking down the parade that day?
Because she runs the city of Chappaqua, and she knows that Mayor Cuomo's with her, and it's just a great visual that she's just a happy little woman in a happy little town, and everybody loves her. That's all I can figure. They hate her.
Yeah, celebrity.
Yep.
Coach, she was groomed as a little child for what she's done all her life. She was groomed by the occult. I'm telling you, if you just go study it out, it's all right there.
Hey, Randy, the kings of this world are conspiring against the Lord and his anointed. See, we still haven't got past page 1 of Psalm 2, have we? We still haven't figured it out. And that's what we're seeing. All this media, all this stuff. Folks, you either serve the Lord or you serve Satan. There ain't no middle ground. There ain't no middle ground, right? And that line is getting more and more and more clear all the time. And it's amazing some people can't see it. I hear somebody. Come on in. We got a minute and a half left here.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Yeah, I would like to give this information for people to research. Go to Wikipedia and type in the Telecommunications Act of 1996.
Telecommunications Act of 1996.
And I'm going to give you one of the criticisms that they were saying It says, the business is about to get bigger. Mergers, takeovers, and acquisitions are becoming the norm in the television industry. The new law has stripped down the television ownership rules so that big media players can and will be more aggressive in buying out smaller stations. Then the new legislative fight is brewing on the horizon as the broadcast industry gears up for the introduction of digital television. So they saw this coming. But then what they did is they relaxed the rules that you could buy more media outlets. And within the, if you read down a little bit further, and people can research this themselves, but it says within 5 years of the act being signed, radio station ownership dropped from 5,100 owners to 3,800 owners.
Wow.
That's why you have iHeartMedia and the other big broadcasts. If you filter out who owns the media industry, there's only seven corporations that own 95% yep. of the media in the world.
It's all gatekeepers. I'm sorry, Craig, out of time. Gatekeepers. Craig, email me that link. Gatekeepers. Don't miss tomorrow. John Diamond is going to finish that teaching that we've been trying to get out of him for a week and a half, right? Folks, God, the Lord's opening our eyes. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from this other set of laws that I've been, wow, what a time to be alive. God bless, men. We'll see you tomorrow.